She'll remind me to get some batteries.
For that.
Glad to see 20 of you this morning. Glad to see you, Sister Kelly. We just pray that the Lord will just have his way this morning. And I just pray that the Lord will just take me and Father and just set me to the side where he will just come down and just do the preaching himself. And I know that with the Lord's help, I know that we can be blessed today. And it said, count your many blessings. You know, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. How long would it take us to count them? He said, count them. And then name them. One by one. I'm so thankful that he has given us the Word of God. I'm so thankful that he's given us a place where we can come in and worship him and praise his holy name. I believe it's next week. I believe it starts next Wednesday night and Thursday and Friday. I think it's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that Brother Paul's going to be up at Patrick Springs. And I'm going to try to go probably Thursday night. So if anybody wants to go, just let me know and we can see if we can't maybe get one or two cars and or whatever. And maybe we can go up there together and just have a good time of fellowship. But Brother James, he's still on cloud nine. I believe he's still shouting because every time I see him, he's bubbling over. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I've never seen him shout like he did that night. But hey, the Lord's still saving souls. Amen. And you know, we have to do our part, and we can win them to the Lord. We need to get them in church under the gospel and teach them God's way and teach them God's word and teach them and what it means to be a Christian and what it means to serve the Lord. And I believe that he will be pleased with that. I know in times past I have failed him. I failed the Lord and I failed other individuals so much and allowed them to come to church and even get saved in a church house. But yet, I didn't go and call them and I didn't go and visit them or help them. But they stayed in church though. We need to go about just encouraging the people. Encouraging them. And I believe that we can look at the scripture right here where the one verse of scripture that I'm going to read here is in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Chapter 6 and verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, the sun shining. But Lord, there's not a day that you have not created, Father, where we was not able to wake up and see it through the eyes that we have, that it wasn't a good day. It was a great day, because every day is a miracle that you have performed before our eyes. And Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that you'll help me with this message. Father, we pray, God, that you'll just take and hide me behind the cross. The Lord Jesus, that you would come down, and Father, that you would do the preaching this morning. I pray, God, for thy power. I pray, God, for thy unction from on high. Lord, that you may touch these lips of clay, that the words of God will be spoken as you'd want it to be spoken. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The message here that I want to title today, the old gospel ship. You know, the old gospel ship. How many of you know this song, the ship of Zion and all of that? But you know, we have the anchor that anchors our soul and anchors us to a place that where we can be where God would have us to be. Now we know that also that in being anchored, we are anchored of the soul, and we are steadfast and we're anchored. And we must be anchored to the point that when we go about and visiting or go somewhere or go out in the world or go to work or whatever, that our soul is so anchored into Him that when the devil, he's going to attack us, he's going to try to help us. I mean, he ain't going to try to help us, but yet he does in a way. He helps us. He tries to discourages us to be like unto the world. And we need to not allow him to have that. We need to be anchored, and we need to be steadfast, and we need to be unmovable. And we know what the Word of God says. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made a shipwreck. Our conscience will take and pull that anchor up from which it's holding. And then we will go astray and we will end up being in the shipwreck. We know over there in Jonah, where Jonah, there he was supposed to go to Nineveh and preach to the wicked people there. And he was supposed to go and preach what thus says the Word of God. But Jonah, he really, in a way, did not want to go, and in a way, he did want to go. Explain to me that. Well, it's kind of hard to explain. But Jonah knew that he was going to have to eventually obey God, just like us. We may get out of God's house. We may get out of the will of God. But we also know too, and by getting out of the house of God and getting out of the will of God and going out and doing what we're going to do, there's something that's in the back of our mind and the back of our heart that will let us know and reveal to us that there's going to come a day and time that we're going to have to come back to God. Because I believe there are miserable people today. And I believe the most miserable, the miserablest, or however you want to say it, that is I hear, is the Christian that's been saved by the grace of God, been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are so miserable that they get so wrapped up in different things, and they're trying to get away from that misery. That's the reason they take on this task. That's the reason they take on that task. Because they're trying to get something else to where it will take away from that misery. And that misery of thinking about some message that was preached here at Faith Baptist Church. Maybe some message preached here 20 years ago, and the people used to be faithful to the house of God, but yet they done turned their back on God, and they've been out in the world for 10, 12, 15 years. But if you go up to them, if you talk to them today, they will try their very best to come up with any kind of excuse. But they cannot come up with one. There's no kind of excuse that they'll ever come up with that's going to satisfy God. Oh yeah, they can tell us all kinds of excuses, and we'll say, well, we're sorry, and we're sorry things is going that way. But see, God knows exactly what they do. God knows exactly what I do. Each and every day. Oh yeah, I can go to him in the afternoon. I can go to him at night. And I can pray. And I can ask him forgiveness and everything. But if it's in God's word for me to do that, then it's nothing for me to pray about. See, there's some things that we don't have to pray about as a Christian. As a Christian, we should not have to pray about being faithful to the house of God. We should not have to pray about how much money or a love offering or tithes. And we should not have to pray about that, because God is specific on His word and what He says in His word. You know, God, He says, give 10%. But now, what would you think if God says, well, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, let me turn over here. I want to read that, and I want to. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that thou may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that thou shalt not be room enough to receive it. The tithe right here, which means 10%. But you know something? What he could have said, bring ye in all that you have earned, except 10%. Now, how many would love to be able to go out here and make $100 this afternoon, I mean tomorrow afternoon, just doing something, some maybe helping somebody move some stuff or something, and they'll give you $100 bill. And they'll pay you for your time. But yet God expects you to turn right around and give him $90 of that $100. You'd say, well, that's not really fair, is it? Yes, it would, if that's what God wanted. Because we could still live on $10. If that's what God wanted us to live on, was $10. But we need to say, God, you know, I'm going to give you my 10%. Now, God, I'm going to ask you to bless that. And you use it for thy kingdom. And then when he says that, says that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith. Prove me now. The Lord God Almighty is saying, Donnie, I want you to prove me. I want you to say to me, God, I want to see what you're going to do. I'm proving you. I want to ask you to give me. I want you to help me. Prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, prove me now. It's herewith right now. Prove me. Test me. Test me. And he will pour out his blessings on us. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that thou shalt not be room enough to receive it. We need to look at some things today. We need to look at our faith. Do we have the faith that we need to keep carrying it on? Because I know, no doubt, I know that each one of you, yeah, I know you're getting discouraged. I get discouraged at times. You go out here and you invite people, you see people, you invite them to church, you try to do this, you try to do that. You're trying to be a help to them. But yet, it seems like it's no effect. No effect, they just care about what they can do. They care more about the world than they do their own soul. They care more about the world than they do their own children. And their own families, they are so wrapped up in the things of the world that the world has got them by the chokehold. And if they feel like they're going to try to leave the world and come back to church and get back in church and everything, they can feel the noose tightening, pulling them right back into the world, pull them deeper and deeper into the world. And as they pull deeper and deeper into the world, they pulling them farther and farther away from God. You know, when Jesus was a young lad there, him, the Lord Jesus, his mother Mary, and his father Joseph there, they went about, they was walking through the city there. And as they was walking, the Lord Jesus heard something. And what it was is where all the priest and the counselors and everybody, all the religious people that was gathered together, they were discussing things about God, things about what they had been told. They were discussing about all of that. So it caught the attention of the Lord Jesus. And he heard them and he went in to where they was at. And yet, here he was, a little short lad there, a young boy, young man, or whatever, there, and he started telling them the facts. And he started telling them about God. And they couldn't understand it. They didn't understand. They said, well, here's a man is talking about things we ain't never heard of before. I'm putting my own words, but basically that's what they were saying, that he is talking about things we've never heard before. And Mary and Joseph, they were still walking along. That reminds Christians today. That reminds people today. They'll go and they'll have their children right beside of them. Then they get to thinking, start thinking about this, start thinking about that. They get their mind off the children and everything. Next thing you know, something's caught the eyes of the child, and the child went astray and over there and maybe looking at some animals or something like that. They're gone astray. But what does all that mean? What that means is that yes, and then they turned around and they looked, and they didn't see the Son there. Mary didn't see her Son, the Messiah. Jesus, she didn't see Jesus there. She was anchored into what she had learned about him and what God the Father had told her and what she had learned through the Holy Spirit that day when come down and put child within her womb that day. And then she brought forth a child. And that child was none other than the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, he won't die. They was getting upset. They're thinking about the whole time. God, I'm sorry, God. I took my eyes off of him. I don't know where he's at, God. God knew exactly where it was at. And they hadn't went that far. But how long did it take them to get back to Jesus? It doesn't take us that long and that quick to get out here and get into sin. But once we get in sin, it's going to take us 3 times as long to get back to where we started from.
Where did we leave Jesus at? We didn't take him with him. We just dropped him off right here. No, Jesus is right at the same place where we left him at. We must realize that we need to have our anchor where our anchor holds. Our anchor needs to be anchored into the rock. And when that anchor is anchored into the rock, that anchor will not let go. And that's what we need to be anchored on. We need to be anchored on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be anchored in Him. We need to be anchored into Him personally. We also need to be anchored into Him with His power. The anchor represents power. It represents strength. But how many of us today really want to be anchored in Him? I mean, don't get me wrong, please, don't get me wrong. There's people. It is 10 minutes to 12. We've been here an hour and 50 minutes this morning. That's 111 minutes we've been here this morning. Since we came in this morning, there's 110 souls dropped off into heaven. What can we do about it? We can do a lot. We can pray more than we pray. And I thank you for your prayers. I do. I know you pray. And I thank you for your faithfulness. James here called me on Sunday night and everything. He said, how'd services go today? I said, that it went great. He said, how many did you have? I said, every one of them. I said, 100. I had 100% attendance. He said, what? I said, yeah. That's what I told the people over at the fellowship this week. I said, how many people are you running now? I said, I'm running 100% attendance. I'm not running 50. I'm not running 75. I'm running 100% attendance. They're always there. And the ones that can't be there because of maybe they have to work or something. I know when they're on the job working that they're not just there working and thinking about the thing, thinking about exactly what they're doing. They may be thinking about some of it, but I know they're also thinking about sad to say, that part's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse. You claim to be a Christian, they're going to do everything they can to get the work on. To work on Sunday. Work on Wednesday night. We'll give you Monday and Tuesday off. You gotta work from Wednesday to Sunday night. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. Why? Because that's Satan. That's Satan and his work. But even that, we can still have church. We can still have communion with God. I've never in my life seen a time when you go and you visit people,
and yes, they say they used to be in church. They was faithful to it. They used to teach Sunday school. They used to be a deacon in the church and used to come in, support the church, do anything he could to help the church on the inside or whatever. And then now the thing about it is, where are they at now? God hasn't forgot about them. But it seems like it's a whole lot easier for people to forget about God. And you know, I think and I believe that we're living in a day and time
and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. If we as individuals do not get stirred up, start doing something now, there'll come a time and place we ain't going to do it no more. And y'all know that I said here a while back, I don't know how long it's been, but I said here a while back where there was two counties or two small cities or whatever out west where the council has already voted in that before the preacher can be able to stand on Sunday morning and preach, that he has to turn their message in. I'll allow the council or either who's over it, everything, who they have chosen to be over it, that they have got to go over the message and approve the message. That was in the Midwest. This past Thursday at the Preacher's Fellowship, they're trying their very best to get that on the ballot, not just in a city, in the state of Texas. That they would, all the preachers, all the evangelists, all the missionaries that come and stand and open God's word and preach his message. If it passes in November, that there's going to be someone looking over the message. And I'll tell you one thing, and I can just about bet you, it will not be a Christian. It will not be someone that fears God. It's going to be someone up there that just don't believe in God, never has, and never want to, and all that. But it's coming. It's coming that day. It's coming a time. And we ain't going to have no choice. The church is going to have to end up closing its doors. I got a feeling. But before they close the door, I'm going to have to go.
to get jail first, because I'm not going to close them. I'm not going to close them. I think really now, I tell you, it's sad to say, we done got in that predicament. I'd have never thought this. After I got saved and after I surrendered to God for priest, I never would have thought going through the things, some things that we haven't been facing today. I mean, now I know why. Bless Pat. I know why. A whole lot of these evangelists and a whole lot of these preachers I hear talking about said, you know, we're having a whole lot of preachers out here. But God's taking home. They stood for something. Stood and backed the Word of God and would not compromise the Word of God for any reason. Thereby, pray someone would stand up and take the bloodstained Bible away. We need to wait. Not going to get above. But one consolation. That is one consolation with the whole thing. He tells us it's not going to get no better, so it ain't one of the things that's going to happen. Ooh, that's the case of the one. Yeah. He's going to say, come home. My children, come home. How many of you ready to go? I'm ready to go. I'm ready right now. But you know, he's left us here for a reason. Someone needs to get saved. We don't know who it is. Maybe somebody in our family. Somebody needs to get saved. Some days, see, it seems like on Saturday, I'm staying at the house on Saturday and kind of dressing up and plus food study and do, but it seems like on Saturday, if we get out, I'm leaving kind of tired and I'm getting stuck and wobbling. But then when Sunday comes up, I'm not. we'll give a song together. As the Lord